How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Susie Ahn, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset.
It's a blonded night with pastel skies. Saw you coming from the roof.
We're listening to a song called Chasing Daydreams by local producer and songwriter Ina Pineda. Ina's music explores their journey as a queer Filipina growing into themselves and holding space for healing and heartache. Their self-titled debut album is out now. Before the release, Ina sat down with Sasha Ann Simons in our performance studio here at WBEZ. They discussed the new album and ended with a beautiful live performance of Ina's song, Kin. You can watch this interview in full on our website at wbez.org/reset or WBEZ's YouTube channel. If you still want to listen, don't worry, we got you covered. Ina started by reflecting on the song we're hearing right now. Here's Ina.
Chasing Daydreams is basically a song about being submerged in a lot of different realities and fantasies that I feel like I spent my whole life really being immersed in, whether it was dreaming about these fantastical ideal versions of who I could be in the future. I felt like a lot of these daydreams deviated me from reality. Every time I was with people that I loved or cared about, I was always thinking about what I could do better or how I could be perfect. So Chasing Daydreams just really embodies that kind of feeling. You're really submerged into this orchestral, ambient, and experimental vibe that comes with it. But then when you listen to the lyrics, it's such a contrast. It's very heavy. It's very vulnerable. And I feel like that very much embodies the experience of daydreaming.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and this album, it's been years in the making. Right?
Yes.
You wrote a fair amount of the songs while you were still living in California.
Mm-hmm.
And you moved to Chicago when you were 21. Tell us more about what brought you here.
Yeah. Every time I tell people from California, they're like, why would you move here to Chicago? I'm like, I know. But when I first visited when I was 19, I just instantly fell in love with the city. I grew up in the suburbs of San Diego in a very like small Asian like town called Mira Mesa. So moving to a city, I just really wanted to find myself. And I feel like Chicago was the great opportunity for that. And the creatives here are just unmatched. I really love the people that I've met here. They're so genuine. I created like a beautiful community, and they have surrounded me with so much love I never thought I would have had, especially when it came to my queer identity. I feel like being in Chicago allowed me to be more myself than I ever thought I could be when I was living back at home. So yeah, and then when it came to music, I really just came here to just learn from people, and I have been blessed with all the opportunities that came my way, whether it was finding my band or playing these awesome venues that I never thought I would ever step on. So yeah, Chicago is just great.
That's incredible. Where did your initial interest in music come from?
I've always been interested in music. I grew up in a very, I'm obviously Filipino, so a lot of like our upbringing comes with karaoke nights at like Filipino parties. And from my mom's side, a lot of the musicians like come from her side. So I feel like I gained a lot of those musical inspirations. But I started singing when I was 4, again, on the karaoke machine, would play covers here and there growing up in middle school with my best friends. We would bring out our ukuleles or guitars during lunchtime and just jam out to all of our favorite songs. And there was a period where I didn't like sing or like write for a while, but when I came back into music high school, I started writing more, especially when it came to my struggles. And then college, I started producing. And then when I moved to Chicago, it was live shows and finishing this album and even more producing.
Incredible. Well, let's listen to another track. This song's called Emma.
It's creeping up again. And no, it's not what I planned. Go and blame my fickle heart for never waiting.
So there were a lot of people involved in making this album happen, but I understand that that wasn't your original intention. You wanted to do a lot of this work yourself. What changed?
I think it was a whole ego thing. I think coming into music, I was like, I wanted to be a really good representation for my community, especially a woman, a queer woman in the music industry. I feel like I had to bear everything on my own to prove that I was this artist that I could be in the music industry. But moving to Chicago really broke me down to build me up. And it really taught me to, like, if I don't, like, allow myself to receive all these different ideas from different people, I'll never be able to create the thing that I just created now. And when it came to the album, I really had to let go of that expectation of perfection and of who I could be, to learn from people, to make mistakes, to get different opinions, and to allow that to come into my work. And with that, it forged a lot of great friendships, really great experiences too. And I'm very grateful for, like, the people that I met along the way.
So at least eventually collaboration became important to you.
Absolutely. It like. And it's ironic because I've always been a collaborative person, but with music, I just had, again, like that ego thing. But I'm very grateful I broke out of that.
Well, as I mentioned, you wrote some of these songs years ago, but the album is out now. So why now? Why is now the time?
I was 19 when I first had this idea of creating this album. It was like in my notes app, I had 12 songs that I wanted to create and produce and release. But living in California, I felt so limited in my pursuit of music, especially when it came to production. I really wanted to rush things. And then I moved to Chicago, started playing live shows, and met a bunch of amazing people who then helped finish this project with me. And last year, I actually did want to release it like last October, and I was rushing with these deadlines, and it really burnt me out. And I realized that, like, I'm not gonna be able to create this meaningful project if I keep trying to push myself to this timeline that I was creating for myself. So now, having finished all those tracks at the beginning of 2024, working with a lot of amazing friends who created, like, the whole promotion and, like, the materials for it, I felt that it was really perfect, especially coming into my 24th year of living. Like, it just felt right. And I decided to drop it, like, now, just because it felt right in the moment to just have everything ready and to feel, and to also know that this isn't just my project. I collaborated with so many amazing people in my life, and this is not only for me, but for them. And I want to showcase their love and their passion and their work, and to be able to do that together through Ina, this project is just awesome.
This was quite the process to get to this project. So looking internally, what did you learn about yourself?
Ooh, great question. I think the biggest thing I learned about myself is that I need to learn to receive. I feel like I've spent a lot of my life giving and giving and giving, and it's easier to do one thing or the other, whether to give or to take. But doing both is the hardest thing. And when it came with music, receiving the amount of love that people had shown me, and it was genuine, but a lot of my doubts would always tell me that, like, maybe it's not, especially being on stage. My first venue performance at Shoe-Biz last year, I was the only queer Filipino woman on the lineup. And I just couldn't believe that, like, I was given this opportunity because people believed in me, and receiving that was the hardest thing. And I think I spent the past year trying to learn how to receive all of that. And now that I've now released the album with all these people showering me with so much love, it really has awakened me to the idea that, like, I do need to believe in myself, that people genuinely want to be here for me and, like, are in my life. And I need to allow myself to receive that and feel it.
At the same time, being the only queer Filipina on that lineup, I mean, what else did that tell you in the moment?
It was really scary, but then I realized that I am the only queer Filipino on this lineup.
It's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. And not to mention that my band was also POC. They were minorities compared to the other people on that lineup. And I realized that this is bigger than me, that I am part of this movement with a lot of underrepresented minorities and creatives and visionaries who deserve to be heard as well. So every time I step on the stage, I not only, like, do this for myself and, like, another queer Filipino girl out there, but just everyone else who really wants to be heard and who are just like me too.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
So I want to break down some of these lyrics, Ina. You sing, quote, "'Cause my hands were made from war. They were never built to hold all the stars. To my demons, I fold my cards." Ooh. What were you writing about in this song?
Oh, my God. Those are one of the most sad lyrics, but also one of the proudest I've ever written. It's basically a song about wishing that I was this more healed version of myself. So this bridge where I basically say, my hands were never meant to hold the stars. It's just a lot of self-doubt. Like, maybe I'm not meant to be on stage. Maybe I'm not meant to be this good partner or, like, good friend or just everything that I want to be. It's just kind of succumbing to the demons, folding my cards, like letting them win, kind of take over and surrendering to those doubts and believing that, yeah, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be there. I'm never going to get there. And so that bridge was just kind of this like hopelessness feeling. Mm.
Why do you think you gravitate toward these kinds of vulnerable themes?
I think because I grew up not having the outlet to express myself, to be validated in those experiences and the feelings that I was feeling. So even though I couldn't really translate that into words, for some reason it translated into music and lyrics. And I didn't start writing about very vulnerable topics until later year of high school. And I continued to do so because people came up and told me that they never felt more heard until they heard my music. And so be met with like a lot of people who would hold my stories with grace when initially I was super scared to like even talk about it. Cause at the time, like everyone was writing about love, about like just very joyful things. And I couldn't, and it scared me that like, why can't I write about that stuff? Like the sadness just stuck in with me. But then I realized that like, I could use that as power to just share my story. And it may sound sad to say that like a lot of my songs are sad because that was the only thing I could write about.
Yeah.
But that's just like the truth. Like that's what I just felt. And like, writing just allows me to feel more.
Yeah. What drives this desire to create your music? You said it allows you to feel, but where else is this desire coming from? To sit down and put pen to paper?
I think recently it allows me to connect more to myself, to be able to listen to everything that is going on inside of my head, to just sit with it, to exist with it. Prior to that, I feel like when I first started writing music, I just really wanted to make it somewhere. And now I'm just more so like, I just want to create for myself, to just feel everything that I'm feeling and to validate that. Because that little girl in me who wasn't validated when she was older, I want to be able to do that for her. And music allows me to do that. And creativity is inherent, but once it's shared, then it is art. So to be able to share all the creativity that I had possessed, it's just a very beautiful process to let that out and share it with the world.
All right, time for another song. This is I Wish You Knew I Existed.
She's got pretty eyes like the stars. Oh, no wonder everybody's now scared of the dark anymore. 'Cause she's got the world. She is the world. And every season has its worth, but when she is present, all the leaves adopt her colors.
So this is one of my favorites of yours.
Oh my God.
Gotta say, I love this song. It's the first song that you wrote for the album. Is that right?
It was the first queer song I wrote for the album.
Tell me more about that. Where did the inspiration come from?
I had this crush on this girl when I first moved to Chicago, and for some reason, these lyrics just spit out, like, this one night I confessed my feelings to her and got rejected, but it's okay.
She doesn't know what she's missing.
But I started writing this song, and I was really surprised by the lyrics that I chose to write about love through the eyes of a queer lover. I was very scared to even write about falling, you know, for a girl. I came out when I was 16, but even since then, there have been a lot of moments where I've faced a lot of fear with accepting my queer identity. And so sitting down to write this song was very, very scary. But then I decided to share it with the people closest to me. And I felt like this was the perfect moment to just share that because, you know, there's not a lot of representation out there, and I wanted to be able to do that.
How did they receive it, those people closest to you?
Oh, my friends are amazing. They loved it. They're like, we need more gay songs. I was like, I know. But yeah, I was very grateful for the amount of support received from it. And then when I dropped it, I think last month with a music video, many people have come across it and have shared so much love and support, which is, I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah. You know, when you read anything about you, Ina, you're always introduced as a queer Filipina musician. You've talked about it a lot in this interview. Why are these parts of your identity so important to bring to the forefront? And I wonder how they influence you and your music.
Mm. Yeah, every time I step on stage, I always tell people like, hey, I'm Ina, I'm a queer Filipina producer, this and that. And
you lead with that.
I do lead with that, yes. And I was initially scared to do so because I felt like I was confining myself in a box, but then I realized that like there isn't even a box out there with that label. And I wanted to be able, every time I share that part of my identity with people, I want them to know that, oh, you're listening to someone who you rarely see in this type of industry. There's a lot of like white privileged folks, especially men out there. There's not a lot of women in music, and let alone a queer Filipino like me. I want to be able to be a voice for my other represented folks. And when it comes to being influenced with that identity in my music, I feel like finally accepting who I am with my queer identity and also my Filipino culture allows me to be more authentic in my music, to write about those things that mean a lot to me, whether it is loving and whether it is about love through the eyes of a queer lover, whether it is about being an immigrant, whether it is about being a minority.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit about the art for your album and for your singles, because they're beautiful.
Yes.
For viewers and listeners who have not seen them, can you describe them?
Yeah. Ooh, I love these cover arts so much. It is a collaboration with two of my amazing friends, Nathan Valencia and Anya Yolin. Nathan is a Chicago-based film producer. Sorry, Nathan is a Chicago-based film photographer, and Anya is a graphic mixed media artist from Savannah, Georgia. And they both didn't know each other at the beginning of this process, and I brought them together because I really wanted to create this cover art for both the singles and the album to kind of embody this chaotic clash of like all these themes that this album really kind of goes through. Mm-hmm. So I decided like, okay, Nathan does amazing photography and Anya does a lot of these mixed media. Let me combine the two. So I put them in like one virtual meeting together and they clicked and they were creating a bunch of these concepts. And if you look at the cover arts, it's printed on a canvas material, mm-hmm. the film photo. And then Anya went in and put a lot of these little motifs that you'll see in the cover arts. There's candle wax, there's lace.
Oh,
there's,
wow.
There's like a reflective mirror, and there's also like a stitch on the album cover. There's a stitch handwriting of my name, but also my name in Baybayin, which is an old Filipino script. So
amazing.
I wanted to like incorporate all those like little motifs and little cool things that Anya did to just kind of showcase not only like my like work, but also their work.
It's so much more involved than I thought.
It is, yes.
Well, I want to also bring up your music videos because those are amazing as well. And I think we can see you had dreams of being a film director.
I did.
At some point. I think that shines through.
Thank you.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I did want to be a film director. I studied film for like a year, my freshman year of college. And then music came back into my life and then decided to just follow suit with that. When I moved to Chicago, I met a lot of amazing creatives. My partner is a film director. And I feel like since meeting her, she has opened me to an amazing community of other creators out there. So when I was creating these music videos, I wanted to just collaborate with as many people as I could, creating like these visions that I couldn't do myself alone. So I would just like hear like their visions, like whenever they would hear the song and just collaborated from it. And yeah, it was cool just learning from everybody. Like all I really know is just editing and taking videos, but just hear like the specifics of it, like whether I'm on set, whether I'm at my partner's set or just with my friends when they're behind the camera, I'm learning so much from them and it's such a beautiful experience. And I'm so grateful to have been able to create a lot of this with them.
Sounds like a fun process.
It is,
for
yeah.
sure. Well, you hosted a listening party for your album 2 weeks ago, just about, and you had your album release show on Tuesday at Shuba's Tavern. What's the response been like so far?
It's been great. The listening party was super fun. A lot of my friends were there. I was like selling merch and like these t-shirts, and everyone was just sitting down and really listening to the music when I would play it. And it was hosted at this amazing studio called Solidarity Studios, which is Palestinian owned. And I was just very grateful for the amount of people that showed up and just wanted to like listen and to be able to have a great crowd too, all my friends. And again, like my family, my sister that flew out, it was their first time seeing me live. So it was a very, very amazing experience.
Now, you said this earlier in our interview, you said that this album isn't just for you, right? It's for your community. So before I let you go, what message do you have for them?
Whew. I would say to my community, feel it all. Don't run from things that scare you. Use it. It is power. Your feelings are power. And let it guide you wherever it wants to take you with your creativity, because all your feelings are valid and you are valid. And I hope, especially my underrepresented folks, like your voice matters. And I want you to just keep doing what you do, because it all starts with us.
It all starts with us. Love that. Ina Panetta is a Chicago-based songwriter and producer. Their debut self-titled album is dropping tomorrow, August 2nd. Ina, thank you so much for making the time for us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so we're going to go out on one more song, and you will be, as I teased earlier, performing for us. So what can you tell us about Kin?
Yes, so Kin is a very vulnerable song off of my album. It's a song talking about my tattered relationship with my father. Growing up, we had a very rough relationship, and this song kind of talks about generational trauma, the pain and struggles of not receiving the love and validation that you would want from someone who should be giving it to you. And I wrote it like a few days before my 22nd birthday, and it also talks about how healing is not linear, how even if you moved away from home or if it's been years since the time that you felt really, really hurt, it's still going to find you at times, and that's okay. And Ken just reminds me that like there's going to be moments where I'll falter and like remember those moments, but I'm not there anymore. And to just hold space in this song, to just leave it at that, lyrics on a page, is just something to, an ode for younger Ina who needed that. And this song is for all the other older siblings out there who bore the weight of being the eldest child.
Powerful. Let's get into it.
This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Micah Yasin and edited by Meha Ahmed. It was mixed by Ethan Schwab and Dave Miska. Special thanks to Brian Ernst. If you enjoy Reset's music coverage, check out last week's episode with Chicago artist Meh. I'm Susie Ahn, in for Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. I drowned. We were much smaller than you. What more did you have to prove? I catered to all of the lies. Every wound that had been disguised with words that lingered on and burned, ebbing like waves in a tide I can't escape. Oh, it finds me when I'm at my worst, so I dive head first. But don't you think I tried my best to be everything you wanted? Like you, I wonder if inside my eyes she sees you too. I wish
wish I stayed as the first, but as time went on, she turned and chose somebody else's side. Nobody noticed I was dying, and I was hanging by a thread. Once a home and now a dead end. It's a shame that I didn't bleed. Maybe then you finally would see. But I made sure to leave no trace, 'cause I couldn't bear to see my sister's face. But even with four different walls, your shadows claim them all. But don't just to harvest my heart broken and damaged. I did it for her, that's how I manage. Now I'm miles away celebrating my birthday. God, at 22 still writing
pretty good. Do y'all feel good about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yay!
Wow.
Woo, woo. Thank you.
Wow.
Cool. I'm going to turn this on.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.